And welcome to this very special edition of Dual Pixels Radio. That's right, a spoiler cast, this time on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. Yeah, I know we're late to the party, but very fashionable. As we go into detail into Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, first, the introductions. I'm Jose, the managing editor of Dual Pixels. And I have a very special guest on the show with me today, and it's my partner, Michael.
Yeah. Hi. Finally here. Finally made it on.
Yes, he is finally on.
It's been a long time looking outside the window, looking in, and now I'm finally here.
Yeah, well, it's definitely fun coming into this game in particular, because Marvel Ultimate Alliance is something that we played countless of hours.
Extensively, yeah.
Yes, we played so much of it.
Played and play.
Yeah, well, all the other, like, sequels, X-Men Legends, mm-hmm. This is something, like, very dear to our hearts, and we know a lot about it.
Yeah.
Hundreds of hours. So
very near, very dear.
Yes. So yeah, first, I actually want to just start off with our overall impressions, like, with the game, again, because we are late with our you know, with our impressions of everything, but, you know, we had the game since it first released, and
of course, yeah,
yep, obviously. And yeah, just overall, like, my initial impression, like, even seeing the trailers and being hype, just seeing it come back into its true form, only to find out it was on Destroids, that definitely hurt me a bit. You know, that's solved. Obviously, you know, I have a Switch, and obviously we made it happen, just in general. And yeah, just it being on the Switch kind of hurt me a little bit, since I always associate this franchise with the PlayStation controller. Yeah. So going into it overall, one, it's on a weaker platform. You know, the Switch is weaker than the PS4. That's one. So things could have looked better. And I don't fault it for that, because the presentation is actually real good. Again, it's Marvel Ultimate Alliance. What else could I ask for? And on top of that, just a lot of characters. A lot of new characters are, like, finally in the mix. Mm-hmm. So it's something just good in general. Just a good overall impression.
My feedback is, like, at first, initially when, you know, hearing about the new Marvel Alliance, and you knew way before it came out because you have kind of like an insight on, you know, games that are coming out, and you kind of have like a heads up on other people, where I didn't know, and you knew way before. And when you were informing me that it was coming out, of course, my excitement was, you know, very great, and my expectations were probably too high. And when you told me that it was going to be on the Switch, I was just like, oh, okay, you know, the Switch. And I was always someone that was a PlayStation person. And I lived with my brother at a certain time, and the PlayStation was mine, and the Wii was his. Like, I was just always a PlayStation person. Of course, playing Marvel Alliance on the PlayStation, it was kind of a little a blow to know that it wasn't going to be on PlayStation and it was going to be on Switch. I always kind of did look at, like, the Nintendo systems as kind of a little, like, systems that are a little bit more based for children. They weren't very, very more, they weren't as mature as the PlayStation or anything like that. So, and then when this game came out, needless to say, I did feel that the art style and stuff like that, where the other Ultimate Alliances were more kind of reality based, this is a little bit more cartoony based for the characters.
No, but it works well. Like,
but it did have to grow on me. At first, I was just like, all right, And I guess we'll get into it a little bit more, but at first it was just like, oh, okay, well, this is very, very, it was almost like a Marvel versus Capcom kind of thing, like the look of the Marvel
Studio. What do you mean? That's the best, that's the best part.
And this is a bad audience to say that too, but like, you know, but like, again, going back to the other Ultimate Alliances is where the art style was a little bit more based in reality. Like the even like Ultimate Alliance 1 and Ultimate Alliance 2, the heroes look like the comic heroes. They weren't like these kind of cute, well, two-dimensional kind of characters. Like they were a little bit more reality-based. I hope I'm describing that right.
Kind of. You're kind of butchering it a little. This is coming from the guy who has played a lot of Witcher and Assassin's Creed. I get what you're saying with the
it's
whole.
It's cartoony. Yeah, it's a little cartoony.
Well, it's Marvel Comics. Yeah. Marvel Comics is cartoony. Mm-hmm. So. Well, you prefer it a different style. And I get you for that. This is the same sort of reaction we have with Zelda, by the way.
Let's
not go into Zelda and let's actually stop. Let's stop talking bad about the Switch here because the game.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, I know. I even myself. you know. With the Switch it being underpowered, but this game does, the art style does bring out that sort of playfulness I like in a Marvel game. That's what I love about this game, the presentation, the way the menus look, mm-hmm. the way the music sounds. Everything sounds so heroic, so in tune with Marvel just in general.
Yeah.
Like it
has grown on me. I mean, yeah. Like now I just kind of, you know, now it's just, you know, been part, now it's just part of like playing Marvel Alliance is like, yeah, we have to turn on the Switch where, you know, before it was just like so alien and the controller was alien and stuff like that. But now I get it. And, you know, Y is A and, you know, like, yeah, like crazy things and stuff like, you know, crazy control.
Well, the controls are crazy. Mm-hmm. And we could actually get into that first, with the controls, because with the current way it's set up, again, it's very similar to the old Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Mm-hmm. Again, the controls do play a big factor because the way these new moves are introduced, and these are these double team moves. Mm-hmm. Now, each move has its own synergy with other characters' moves, and that creates new looking moves. If you guys get what I'm saying there. So, for instance, Michael and I, we like to play an X-Men team. We always like to do Storm and Cyclops. And
Yeah. I mean that those are our go-to characters.
Yeah, those are our go-tos. And when he throws like a whirlwind, I go ahead and shoot my optic blast, and that whirlwind turned into.
Needless to say, I'm Storm and Cyclops.
Needless to say, we play this like we're like.
Now it's kind of like second nature for
exactly
with Storm and once you start playing it and you get into this groove of knowing who your favorite character is, and if you're playing with someone so long, we can kind of predict what we're going to be doing.
That's the thing, and that's why I mentioned about mm-hmm. that move where you would do that whirlwind. Uh-huh, yes, yeah. That whirlwind, and I would shoot my optic blast, and that would actually change the property of the move.
Uh-huh.
Completely, and it'll give it a different visual style.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but the combinations are endless because there's so many characters.
Which
is kind of alluring and awesome about the game.
Okay, and this is where, like, to me, it's a great concept. The timing is off on some of those moves.
Yeah.
And I know you could agree with me on that because there's some certain unlockables like. You have to do certain moves for those chests.
Chests.
Yeah. So you could actually break them open and get like iso crystals.
Yeah. And there's certain times where you have to switch characters in order to get to them, and to get the certain power that you need to open those chests. Like, it's not necessarily the character that you're playing with at the moment. You might have to switch to another team member that is also in play, but you're not playing with in order to open the chest. Right? Yeah. So there's that. But, I mean, there's been countless times where, like, we're going through it and we're in a board and we're being bombarded by a whole bunch of enemies and... you're doing a power thing, I'm doing a power thing, and, you know, someone else is comboing at the same time, and I'm just like, wait, where am I on the screen? Like, you just lose where you are, and, like, I actually have to, like, fly or something to see where I'm at, because there's just so much happening on the screen at one time that, and you're just hoping, like, you have your fingers crossed that maybe I'm doing a lot of the impact, or hopefully I'm doing a lot of the impact and killing these things. But sometimes it's hard to see, you know.
In the midst of the action, yeah.
Of all the action, sometimes it's hard to see, and there's a lot going on, especially if you have, like, two heavy hitters. Like, if I have Storm in there with a Human Torch, I mean, there's a lot happening on the screen as far as powers are concerned.
Well, that's also what makes it good. Uh-huh. Because going back to Ultimate Alliance 2, this is a much bigger game in the sense that there's more enemies on the screen, there's more effects mm-hmm. going on the screen. Mm-hmm. So that actually makes it like you guys, like, you know, your guys are actually rock stars. But... but for me, the thing that really, like, crashes that mentality is that the difficulty is very, very weird for this game compared to the other Ultimate Alliances.
Well, if you could remember when we first started playing, if you could go back that far when we first started playing this game, it must have been when it initially came out, there was times where I was just like, this is ridiculous. And, like, how are we supposed to ever pass this? This is stupid. I hate this game. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed, and, like, they don't even make it capable for you to get past a certain part. But as I learned, and with experience, is that you really have to navigate these powers and these controls that, and then once you do know how to do that, it really changes the game, and it makes it so much fun to play. Because you really start to embody these heroes that you play with, and that's what makes it so fun.
Well, and the kicker with that is, like, I remember there was a point where you were about to stop playing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And...
quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few times. And this also involves the camera. So this involves the camera and the controls everything in the game. And
you scream at me to get closer.
Yeah, I was like, let's get closer. It's, like, so good. It's, like, so good. Yeah, it's, like... it's, like, so good that, well, not scream, but tell, but with, like, don't give up. Like, we can do this. We just have to, like, put our powers together and, like, make it work. And again, you start realizing that the powers actually do make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they do.
Everything has a reason.
Yeah. Everything has a reason. With the gameplay, Small things here and there. There's a few things that were missing in, like, the combat that...
oh, God. You want to talk about that? I mean, when we first started playing, you know, the Marvel Alliance is where, like, before on the PlayStation, where you're able to kick and punch and pick up things and throw things. And you go in this new game, it's just like you have a... kind of like a standard move and then a strong
heavy move.
Heavy move.
Yeah.
And that's it. You can't, I mean, unless you're like, you are a super strength character, you can't pick anything up. And you can't pick anything up, right? Like,
you can. You can, but it varies. Again, if you have a certain
strength. Like Hulk can and...
well,
like,
that was normal. That actually was the same way in the old Ultimate Alliances.
Well, you used to... be able to build up to pick
stuff up,
stuff up,
but not everything. But not everything.
No, okay.
There were some there.
Yeah, there were some characters that couldn't pick up certain things or whatever. But like this one, it was just so.
It was more streamlined.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you say streamlined. I just thought that it was a little bit. When I first started playing, it was a little bit bizarre. I didn't think like it was just like. It was a little. Awkward is the word that I'm looking for, because like when you're so used to playing it, you know that like you have your buttons that like this equals punch and this equals kick, and this one is just like oh, this is a lightning bolt and this is a whirlwind, and those are your defenses outside of you using your power. There's no physicality. Like if, I know Storm is a person that you know, she has a lot of powers, you know, and she mostly relies on those powers. She's not someone that's hugely physical. But in the other Ultimate Alliances, she would kick and she would punch. I mean, like all the other characters. And in this one, there's no kicking, there's no punching from Storm. She's either blowing out a bolt to you or she's tossing a whirlwind at you. And those are her main moves. Besides her power moves, like I said before. And that was like a little something, because that was something that was a little awkward, because if someone was getting too close to you, you always had that option of like, I'm going to punch them. And now it's like, I'm going to send out a bolt and that's really not doing anything. It's not getting them away from me.
Now you have to back away and then shoot the bolt, because the enemies are like extremely strong.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely one of the things that are missing. Another thing I've noticed, and this is something that I've noticed coming from 1 to 2, and they still haven't added it back, and it was the ability to pick up characters while you fly.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yes, that's actually something back from X-Men Legends. And
that was, oh my god, they talk about X-Men Legends, I mean.
Yeah, we
I could cry.
Yeah, We would have a whole another podcast on that if
I
we can. We would have to replay it, but it lives in our minds every day.
Like I am a Marvel fan for sure, like hands down Marvel fan. But above Marvel fan, I am an X-Men fan. I am a diehard X-Men fan. If I could have a game just filled with all X-Men and X-Men characters, I would like. I don't need Iron Man. I don't need. Ant-Man. I don't need all those.
Well, Ant-Man is not in this game. Well,
I don't need any of those people. If you give me all the X-Men, I'll be like, hell yeah, game. Let's do it. Or just a straight up X-Men through the years storyline where we're fighting it is unbelievable. I don't know if you remember one of the old X-Men Legends. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one where they had a flashback and you were the first initial five X-Men and you had to fight the Sentinels in the street. It was like one of the most mind-blowing segments in that game. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that's and this game kind of recreates some of that, because this game is based on the Infinity War. This game is based on current Marvel, I guess, a current Marvel event that, you know, everyone knows about with the Infinity Stones. And again,
Alliance 2 was Civil War.
Yes, Alliance 2 was Civil War.
Yeah.
Alliance 1 was a mixed mosh of everything.
Different
it was just picking a lot of things out. But this one relies on the Infinity Stones. Going into the story, again, this is standard fare. Like the story is something that you regularly expect of your comic fan, of your a diehard Marvel fan, even. So it's very easy to pick up, and
I'm sure that they wanted some kind of a lore with the people that are going to the movies too, and you know, being able to. I mean, I know when I go see a Marvel movie, like I want to go home and play something where I could play that character, and like you know.
Well, this is technically that game. Like that's
exactly
This is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is technically that game, and yeah, so the story is very very easy. Thanos pretty much wants the Infinity Stones. I mean, that's pretty much the whole basis on it. Going into it, you see some twists and turns with the Marvel heroes. You know, you unlock the heroes. Every other level, you get a new hero, just like the original Ultimate Alliance. So
I think they are, but I think with this game, they really are brilliant as far as with bringing in the characters into the game, is because, especially because I'm not sure, I don't know the exact time that this new one came out, the debut date, or what movie was coinciding with the, with it coming out. But you start off with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You're on that ship, which is like a, I think maybe Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was coming out, like the second one, or
no,
it was the first one.
No, so this actually came out very recently.
Yeah, it was after Guardians.
This is right when Infinity War.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that okay, you start off with Guardians of the Galaxy. Then you have some, like, if you're a Netflix fan, you've been watching Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage, those characters are there. And then if you're an X-Men fan, those characters are there. If you're watching the Deadpool movies and Cable's in it, I mean, he's in it. I mean, they are really brilliant with, and of course, the Avengers, the Captain America's, the Thor's, the Black Panther. Captain Marvel. I mean, they're just, and then they're brilliant about stemming other characters that you might not have seen in the Marvel Universe yet, but they're kind of educating you a little bit on the relation to these characters, like Morbius and Blade and like a
Moon Knight.
You know, these people that
also Inhumans as well
are important to these other major characters' storyline. You know, Gwen Stacy, you know, like that kind of a thing. So that's exciting.
I think that's the best part about these games, mm-hmm. is how they interlink the Marvel universe and how it makes you want to explore out of the box. Mm-hmm. Instead of like the Avengers, since again, they have movies, they have their movies. Like mm-hmm. X-Men, I was so happy when they announced that the X-Men were going to be in it, mm-hmm. because Fox had the movie rights at the time, and they were just transferring over to Disney's, and Marvel did not want to use the X-Men in any games. Case in point, Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, which I have a lot to say about it, and you hear it all the time on the original podcasts, on our regular DPR.
I think you were most, if we could be honest, I think you were really excited about being able to maybe getting that Phoenix character in your hands again.
Yeah,
that's probably
that's definitely one of the points there. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
were you even excited? We were so excited about like Cyclops and Colossus. You were really,
well, they weren't in the main game.
No, I know, but when we heard about the expansion and are you going to be able to play with Cyclops? I mean, because we haven't played with Cyclops since
Ultimate Alliance 1.
I mean, it's only been one game since in between, but that seems like a long, like, you know. I mean, me and you would go back and replay Marvel Alliance 1. When we beat Marvel Alliance 1 again, we would play Marvel Alliance 2. And then when we beat Marvel's Alliance 2, we would go back to Marvel Alliance 1, play that again, and then play Marvel. Like, we would just constantly,
and in higher difficulty, yeah. each and every time, yeah. all max powers, we...
We had a character kamikaze that we used to do. Yeah, I mean, like, so we were leveling up all our characters, the full potential, you know, but it's fun to be back in it.
Yeah, it is fun to be back in it, and
to see what's next.
Well, and to see what's next, but like I was mentioning with the X-Men, I was excited to see that stage and seeing the Sentinel show up. Mm-hmm. I was excited about that.
Oh yeah. The X-Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the X-Mansion part with Magneto coming in and then Magneto joining the cast.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And seeing everybody interact with each other. Another thing I was excited...
Deadpool making tacos.
Yeah, Deadpool making tacos. Another one I was I liked a lot was the Shadowlands scene. And this was with Iron Fist, Luke Cage.
And the rooftops.
Yes, the rooftops. Yeah. The style looked pretty cool. It was kind of different, kind of artistic.
Yeah.
The way they try to portray the gameplay with you fighting, with
you know, just
when we replayed it, is this the second or third time that we're replaying it? I think it might be the third time, but I almost forgot about that board, and then I saw it again, and I was just like, there's a lot of things that, because all the boards are so long and elaborate that, you know, once you beat it, the first time you're playing it, you're just really concentrating on beating it. And then the second time you go in, you can really kind of appreciate other things that you didn't see before besides just trying to get through the board. You know, you're kind of seeing things that you didn't see before. It's like watching a movie over again.
No, that's true. I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that, you know, you talking about going through the levels.
Yeah.
One of the things that I actually found that I didn't like as much and you hated it even more was the camera. We could talk about that situation because...
Well, I just don't understand. Like, I mean, there must be a lot of work that goes into designing a game. So if you have these rooms that you've designed and all this manpower of designing a room, and then there's this, like, you get into a certain section of the room and it's like there's a wall and you're like looking at a wall and you can't see, like you can't see your characters anymore. There's just like a blockage, and it's just like, guys, like, what's going on? Or some, like, even like there's some weird parts of the game where there's a hallway that you could go down, but there's nothing there. It's just like a waste of a hallway. Like why is this even here? For what reason? There's not even something that you could maybe bust open to get maybe a coin or whatever. And like nothing. It's just like a useless hallway for no reason. Like, what's the point of this? Why is this here?
No, and I agree with you because it's coming from Ultimate Alliance 2, 1, and all the X-Men Legends.
Yeah.
The playing multiplayer, we had at least control of the camera.
I feel like all the games, though, like all the Alliances and the Legends and stuff, like, there's always been that kind of factor to it of a little bit of that weird glitchy thing.
Yeah. But here, it's bad. It's bad. it's very, very bad.
Uh-huh.
Like, before, we had slight control over the camera with the right analog stick. Here, we can't do anything with the camera at all. And this is actually something from when the game first initially launched that they actually patched a few times. And even then, even while patching it, it's still multiplayer.
They can't get it.
They can't get it correct.
They can't get it right.
Yeah, they can't. They can't get it right. And that actually, to be honest, that actually hampers the game a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to play multiplayer.
This is another beef of mine. It's just like there's so much has happened as far as the gaming industry is concerned. I mean, like look at Spider-Man. What a wonderful game that is, and like hardly any glitches at all. I mean, there's been a couple of times where I've been playing Spider-Man that you get a glitch going through the vents or something like that. I mean, minuscule. How far we've come as far as gaming is concerned, and like they still can't figure out this game. They still can't figure out how to make it smooth, how to just make it glitch-free. And in like...
Well, the word you're looking for is polished.
Polished.
Yes, that's the word you're looking polished. For in gaming terms.
I know that you disagree with me a lot about the artistic stylization of this game. But to me, it being on the Switch is kind of like a cop-out. It's a little bit of a cop-out because, like, I want to see on PlayStation 5 what the new Avengers game is going to look like and how that gameplay, because this should be like that. I mean, whatever that's going to be, where you are third person, you have to do everything that a superhero has to do, and it's not like... silly.
I wouldn't call it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No. I disagree with you calling it silly. Like I mentioned, each their own with the art style. This this critique here that you have is more about polish. Mm. This has nothing to do with the art style. Mm. Because if this game was on running on a more powerful system,
right,
it would have looked smoother and it would have ran better. That's 100% for sure. So this, because this has nothing to do with art style at all. I think that's what you're getting at.
Well, do you know anything about how it wound up on Switch from being on Sony, then have it... why Switch?
It was on Xbox as well.
Uh-huh.
So this game, Ultimate Alliance, was on Xbox as well.
This new one was on Xbox?
No. This one wasn't on Xbox. This was actually something Nintendo published. This is something with...
Right, why?
Tecmo. Well, you see? Well... I have no clue. Huh. It seems like the Switch is the best in terms of local multiplayer. You know, we play Mario Party. Not Mario Party, Mario Kart. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Mario Party, no thanks. I don't want it. It was very bland this time. Okay. But Mario Kart, Super Smash Brothers, you know, Switch is a local multiplayer, like,
it's fun. Machine. It's for the kids. Bring the kids along. Like, it's that kind of system.
Well, that's the mentality. That's the whole perspective people have on Nintendo. And I don't even want to get there, because me and Michael would probably have another podcast, and then we would have to make this a Dual Pixels Radio podcast. going back to Ultimate Alliance,
sorry, I digress.
taking it back in a bit, but yeah, like, definitely I agree with you with it could have been polished better, because the camera that shows, especially multiplayer, because it's a key component that actually shows what they're working on. Again, they did they did a lot of updates throughout the game's life to now. And again, we got the Marvel Knights expansion, which included the four characters, Moon Knight, Blade, Punisher, and Morbius.
This is always fun. I always love getting new characters.
And that's great, comparing it to the older ones. You know, in this fashion, the expansion packs are great.
Yeah.
Getting the X-Men expansion that came out right after, that included four more characters, and it also included the Danger Room mode, and
which we haven't tapped on to that.
We played like one or two. We played it about 1 to 2 times, and it's pretty much doing challenges in the Danger Room, and you can actually do the challenges online with other people. So that's a great add-on. But the biggest add-on was the Fantastic Four add-on. And that added 5 characters. I added the Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom.
Right.
But it also added a story to it. So that one was actually pretty
Latveria.
Epic. Yeah, Latveria and the Negative Zone. That one was actually pretty epic, especially with the Fantastic Four. They did them right in this game.
Yeah, I mean, again, not a big Fantastic Four person. However, Johnny Storm kills it in this game. He is... I love playing. He's like my second go-to character as far as, like, it's Storm, Human Torch. I mean, he is my... I guess I play with, like, a Omega kind of power mutant, like, mutant to people with crazy powers. Like, that's who I like playing with. But unbelievable. I think a lot of them, though. I mean, you like Mr. Fantastic and Sue too. You know.
Yeah, they're all like the Fantastic Four pack.
Yeah,
is definitely the best ones in terms of powers and levels. You get them leveled up.
Yeah, extremely they come pretty good. Strong.
Yeah,
they
so
come pretty strong into the game.
That was actually good that they did that, and especially added the story mode. I wish they would have done it for the X-Men expansion, because we're X-Men family here, but. Just seeing another part of the story is great, and I hope they add more, down the line with that. Now, another thing I wanted to actually touch on, just in general, is the difficulty and the leveling system. Like, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of good and bad. So there's pros and cons to it, right? Because, again, we love playing Ultimate Alliance. Mm-hmm. We had to get used to this one,
I think,
because
that's been
all
established too.
Yeah, because yeah, of course it's established, yeah. But we're only mentioning it so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pros and cons with it.
The difficulty.
Yeah, the difficulty, and
I don't know. I like it. At first I didn't like it. At first I was very anti, and I was like, because I thought in my mind I was like, you know, this was a game that I grew up with and I love so much, and I enjoy playing this game, and I'm a superhero geek, and this is, I could get into what it feels like to use like these, you know, superhuman powers. Like, how great, how awesome would that be? And this is like the closest thing I think that I could wrap my head around kind of experiencing that. And then when I get the new game and I'm sitting and I'm playing it, and I can't get past a certain point, and I like it. Well, everything is different, and the buttons are different. The characters look different. The stages are you feel like you can't beat it. I was just so defeated. I was so defeated.
More like overwhelmed, yeah. Because I had to carry the whole thing for a bit.
Yeah.
So more like overwhelmed.
And the fact of the matter was, it's just, I just needed to learn how to play. I had to give it a little bit more time.
You see, and even then, you mentioning that, the difficulty for me, it's very, again, very good and bad. Because with the difficulty in this game wants you to stick to a actual team. This game doesn't want you to switch a lot, because the other characters don't level with the main team that you're picking.
Right.
And the game is very biased to its levels, that let's say if you were to start your new game on hard, because they let you start your new game plus on hard, you can't bring in those other characters.
No,
because
it's a level 35 board. You can't have level 20 characters. You're not going to make it.
Yeah, no one's making it.
You're not going to make it. You have to have, I mean, you have to balance it out. If you have, you know, if you are bringing, which we do, which if there's, like, we do have characters who are weaker, but we balance it out with having 260 level people and then 120 person and then one person at 35, if it's a 35 level. That way we have some kind of insurance. But what I was going to say is that the difficulty, even now sometimes, like, we have certain characters in there, and the person, my go-to character, or a person I've selected to play with in the game, if they die and I have to switch off to another character, there's times where I'm like insecure. I'm like, I don't know how to use this character. I'm going to die.
And that's and a
like
problem.
And
that's a big problem. That's a big problem, because there's so much, they put so much emphasis on characters in this game. There's so many characters.
Yeah.
But you would have to start the game over and over again to get certain characters leveled up.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. Because
and
you
concentrate
can't
just, on making
yeah, and level, yes, and concentrate them. On leveling them up and, you know, getting those crystals there on them. And
that's another ball game for me too. The crystals. Thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually talk on that.
Yeah.
A bit, but going back to the characters, it's kind of sucks, because coming from Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2, where the actual difficulty, like, it was good for you to switch on and off.
Mm.
It wasn't very level dependent. It was. Don't get me wrong. It was. There were some hard moments, but this game takes it to a whole new level. Like, that's how they want you to
but
replay.
But I do also think that us, you know, keep on, because every time we beat it, you know, we up the difficulty and we see if we could beat it there. So I think that comes with it too. I think that's, I mean, maybe not.
That's the replay factor. I get it, but it's too grindy. It's very grindy. It could take hundreds and hundreds of hours, which we're down with. But I could see people dropping it because I could see people dropping it like later on in the story, because they can't play with the characters that they like. Like they're like, okay, I'm gonna stay with this team I want to stay with this team for about two chapters, yeah. And then I want to switch characters. But guess what?
Yeah,
you switch your whole team. Your whole team is not going to be able to make it.
Right, right. Which is, I mean, like even like to piggyback on what you were saying, it's like to like playing the game. And yeah, we played a lot, but there's points of like it's very romantic to say like. Sometimes me and you say, oh, okay, like, you know, Sunday we're going to play Marvel Alliance all day. And that's a very romantic idea. But once we start playing, you know, a couple of hours, you know, things start to get monotonous. And like, you're just like, okay, well, we're done now. You know, like, we're excited to play it. But we're excited for the next time we could play it too. Like this just comes to a certain point where you're just like, okay, and I'm done now.
And I think that has to do again. Mm-hmm. That has to do with the difficulty. That's one way of putting it. The characters that we have to choose,
mm-hmm.
and that also has to do with the powers. As you remember in the old Ultimate Alliance in Part 1, actually, you had more than four powers.
You could switch. You could switch your powers, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And, like, it would depend on the circumstances. But I think it's with this, too. The reason why you might get bored or you might want to switch off this Marvel Alliance is because there might get to a certain point, like you said, you mentioned the difficulty, and you know that the only way you're going to beat this part of it is that you're going to have to go back to that character that you always play in order to make this successful for you to move on. And that's really not what you wanted. You wanted to experience someone new or maybe, you know, test someone else's power or like, you know, and for you to keep on playing the same character over and over again because you know they could get through it, that could get a little dull, especially when there's, I don't know, 36 more characters that you could play with and you could... that I'm only playing with this one because it's the most leveled, that kind of sucks. But, like, you know, I guess that also keeps you with the game, too, because it gives you incentive to level everyone up, kind of.
Yeah, that's a replayability.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the amount of times I had to pick Ms. Marvel mm-hmm. to get stuff done,
oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous. By the way, guys... go ahead and choose Ms. Marvel if you have difficulty with bosses, because that would actually get the boss meter. Yes, she stuns the bosses for you to do ultimate damage. And I don't mind playing with her, but I know some people might not want to play with Ms. Marvel.
I don't.
You see? You're not a Ms. Marvel
person.
If I die
and I have to play with Ms. Marvel, I'm like, Jose, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And it's the same for me for like Wasp. Like I don't
know how to play Wasp.
Yeah. Like I don't.
You don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get Wasp's playstyle. It just doesn't sync with me. Like I'll play Hawkeye, but I won't play Wasp. And they're almost similar to that degree, but I just don't like the movement. Like, you know, everybody got their own character, and that's definitely like the case with the replayability, where it does become grindy. And I'm
are
just saying,
do like top five characters?
Or? Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually coming up.
Okay.
That was actually coming up soon.
Okay. Right. But I'll wait.
Yeah. But I just wanted to reflect back on that with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
This is for everyone. If you have issues with bosses, use her. Just definitely use her, because her power, she has the best stun move in the game. I just wanted just to get that out there and get it out in the open.
I mean, okay. I mean, you could say that, but if you want to talk about Ice Barrage a little bit,
you're going to go back to Storm.
If you don't know what Ice Barrage is, if you play with Storm, it's her stunner, and it's pretty powerful. It's gotten us. It's gotten us very far.
And I could say the same about Cyclops. So moving on.
Fine.
One thing I also wanted to touch on with the difficulty was the ISO crystals. And this is reminiscent there to, I know you you know, you don't like...
I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to put this out there right now. Thank God for you with the crystal thing, because I would just be... I'd be kind of like freestyling it. I have no interest in the crystal things, assigning crystals, that web thing that you have to increase the power. Like, I want nothing to do with that at all.
Okay, and to get into a bit more detail on what Michael is saying, is that so in the game you get ISO 8 crystals, and this is sort of like armor in Ultimate Alliance 1. In Ultimate Alliance 2, if you guys remember the badges that enhance your abilities and your stats, this is what the ISO 8 crystals are.
Yeah, on crack. The crystals are that, those were so easily understandable and easy to obtain and use. These are like color coded and like it. I mean, it is nuts. It gives me anxiety to think about
I get overwhelmed at them as well. You could literally collect 1,000 crystals in the game to store and then to use on your heroes, but you could also level them up. You could level up those crystals and modify them. My whole concern about this is that this also adds to the difficulty. Each character has 4 different slots to assign those crystals in. And this actually adds to the difficulty in the sense of this is another thing to worry about.
Well, it's like stylizing what crystal is best for what character. And there's so many characters and so many crystals. And it's like sometimes we're spending a lot of time designating crystals to certain characters, whereas... now we're just like, pardon my French, but like, fuck it. We gave this person a crystal. That's the crystal they got. And that's it. Because you can spend a lot of time rearranging these crystals and worrying about these crystals. And what does this crystal mean? And how is this going to affect this character? And, you know, if we put this crystal on, it's just like... I feel like I work 5 days a week and that's enough. And the crystal system is like... I want to be paid OT for that if I'm going to be going in and figuring out the crystal system.
No, that is true. And again, now let me tie it to the difficulty here. So there is specific crystals. There are these rainbow crystals in the game. Each crystals have different colors, and those crystals, each of them have different stats. Those colors have different stats. Now, there's these rainbow crystals.
Oh God, I'm bored already.
That have multiple stats on them. And these rainbow crystals, they also have experience point boost, which you can actually unlock. Now, what makes these rainbow crystals different from these other color crystals is that they're much rarer. And this actually could clear up a majority of the leveling issues, because there's a crystal that you can get later on in the game after you beat it on the regular difficulty and you replay everything. You randomly have a chance. You have a chance to get this rainbow crystal that gives you experience points for every character.
Yeah. And which we're trying to obtain. But you know what? It's just like, for me, I'm not a geologist. I'm not a fucking gemologist. I just want to play a game. Like, this is some kind of recreational fun for me. And the crystal thing, it takes me out of it. It really does. It really pulls me out of the whole experience.
How about this? Because again, this ties to the difficulty. That crystal should have been available once you beat the game the first time. That should have been clear. Experience point share for everyone.
I mean, sure. I mean, if I could click A and then it's there, that's fine.
And you could actually get to level 300 in this game.
Oh God!
And that's what makes this.
We're at level like what?
70s, 70s, 60, and we played a lot.
With 2 characters.
Yeah, and we played a lot.
Yeah,
and we're going in completely in.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing just that brief you know, just putting that in the game after you beat it the first time, that will make a world of difference in terms of leveling the characters up. It would fix the difficulty part with choosing specific characters. Mm-hmm. That would initially fix it all. So that's a definite misstep with those crystals. I also feel a misstep with those crystals is that I always see these ISO 8 crystals in every generic Marvel mobile game that's out, and it's used as like a currency.
Right.
I really hate when there's a currency on top of a currency with crystals, and then you get alliance points that you have to fill out your alliance board with, which actually increases your stats. So you have...
That's that web thing?
Yes, that is that web thing that Michael was mentioning. So now you have ISO crystals to put on your characters. Now you have the web of alliance, which is a board where you increase the overall team's power up, not specific characters. Mm. And on top of that, you have the ability points to level up the characters' abilities.
I'm exhausted.
So this is on top.
I'm so exhausted.
Yeah, so this is currency on top of currency on top of currency just to play the game. And this is something I liked about Ultimate Alliance 2. More streamlined. Definitely more streamlined. Even 1 is more streamlined than this, in my opinion, because the crystals...
I mean, why? Why?
They do make it overwhelming.
Why the system to do this? I mean, it really...
Well, replayability. That comes into replayability and difficulty. Okay. That all comes back into that. And I just wanted just to go ahead and just briefly touch up on that, because that... Again, that whole system. Yeah. Oh, it's still going, but that system does make it kind of repetitive, and it includes, you know, it definitely makes it makes the game not as streamlined as it could be, while still giving it some depth. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and move on for the crystals. No. Yeah, and all these systems and all these currencies that the game has. I guess we're gonna go on, what was your favorite level in the game?
My favorite level? I guess being, again, a huge X-Men person, I agree with you. I do love the expansion one. That was amazing. Sometimes I do have a problem where I kind of forget the boards until I'm back in them. I don't know. I like a lot of them. What is it called? The Inhumans one.
Adelan.
I like the Adelan. I like the Dormammu, the dark dimension. I like Wakanda. I like a lot of them. I like them because they're so long and they kind of evolve while you're playing them, and it keeps you kind of in it and enthralled. So I guess those would be my favorite. How about you?
Well, obviously X-Men. Again, we're X family here. So obviously the X-Men, this level.
Did they know the name of your car, by the way?
Oh, the name of my car? Yes, it's... no, they don't know the name of my car. It's called Domino. Yeah.
And my car's name, Mystique.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're X-Men here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men art hanging.
Moving on to this, X-Men... X-Men stage. I love that stage. I love the Shadowland, the... New York City, Shadowland, New York, just because artistically I thought it looked great. And then Wakanda.
The Ninja Land.
Shadowland is with the hand and the kingpin.
Yeah.
And I like Wakanda a lot as well. The other ones I was like...
Wakanda is always a hit, I think. I mean, even in the other Marvel Alliance too, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. There's always great, like... action set
the
pieces.
Interpretation is always different of Wakanda, and I love every interpretation of Wakanda. I think it's just it's like another planet, but it's here on Earth all the time, and it's their technology is so cool, and you know, and it's I don't know, it's always fun to play. I don't think there's so many things that, I could bitch about a lot of things about this game, but the fact of the matter is that I love playing it, and I love the opportunity to play it with Jose, and you know, it's kind of something that we do together, and it's fun. But if I could bitch about another thing too, it's just like, especially comparing it to other Alliance games, is the costume.
Oh yeah, the costume situation.
The costume situation where you unlock a costume and you go and you're so excited to see what this new costume is going to be, and it's the same costume in a different color, which is just like, sometimes it's so minuscule where like, you have to show me, oh, you don't see the difference? It's, you know, the netting on her leg is black instead of yellow. And it's just like, so stupid. It's so dumb. Like, come on. Yeah, I don't know. All right, that's it.
Yeah, well, you moved on to characters there. So I guess now our top five characters.
Okay.
That we play with.
All right. Should I go first?
Yeah, you could go ahead and go first.
Okay. Number one, I think we all know or established already that Storm is my go-to number one character. Number two would be, Human Torch. I love Human Torch. I also play with Wasp. Wasp is another one of my favorites. I just recently been getting into Cable. I really love Cable. He's amazing. And, who's my fifth one? Jeez, I forgot.
There's so many characters.
Oh, no. I love Spider-Gwen. I love Spider-Gwen, and I love, I also love, what's this dude's name from, Star-Lord. I like Star-Lord too. He's cool. Now, there's other characters that I wish I loved playing with more.
Oh, the dig.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I again, being an X-Men, you know, connoisseur, I would say. I am obsessed with Nightcrawler. You know that in my real life, I love Nightcrawler, and I wish he was just a little bit more fun to play with. He is just, I don't know, he's a little lackluster. And Gambit, too. I mean, Gambit's great. I mean, he's good. He's good to play with, but he's not, like, someone that I go... Like, I much prefer to play with Cable than Gambit, which is kind of... I mean, Cable is not one of my favorite characters, but his powers in this game are pretty badass. And, those are my pick. I mean, there's other characters too that I like to, you know, Magneto is pretty cool. But, and then there's just people that are just kind of fall by the wayside and I just forget and I don't play with, which is kind of crazy because, you know, you'd think that you would play with Thor a lot. You think that he would be someone that's so iconic and that you would play with Thor a lot, but I often forget to play with him a lot of the times or forget that he's there. Same thing with Hulk and, you know.
Yeah, this game Captain has a lot America. Of characters. This game has a lot of characters, so. Mm-hmm. That definitely I could agree with you on that. Now, like, for me, my top five. Mm-hmm. Would be let's start it off like this, the top
let's
two.
Let's do top five and then let's do this, let's do bottom five.
Well, bottom we're gonna do bottom one because there's a lot of bottom there's a lot of bad I guess gameplay types. But I'm gonna start with my top five here. And I'll just say top two. First, I'm just gonna put them in categories. Top two first, Cyclops and Jean.
Yep,
Cyclops and Jean, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Those are my top two. Mm-hmm. That's who I always roll with when they're a bit available. Then I'm gonna go with again, this game has so many characters. I'm actually gonna go with here Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Yeah, because she's definitely. Again, that move is kick-ass that she does. it helps a lot. And her powers to me are awesome in terms of controlling like a whole area of enemies. So Ms. Marvel would be in my top five. Then I would go Psylocke. I play a lot of Psylocke. And I think it's more, I play Psylocke because, another X-Men, by the way, I play Psylocke because of like Marvel versus Capcom, like that's where, like, you know, the Capcom games for me, mm-hmm. I associate Psylocke to that. She's a better Nightcrawler because they almost do the same thing in terms of ability. Now, this is a new one for me. Actually, yeah, not even a new one for me, but going into like top five, I would say Sue Storm.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because she reminds me of Jean in the earlier games.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, because... Pre-Phoenix. Yeah, pre-Phoenix. Yeah. So I love playing the character. She's able to put up shields for everyone, more support. That's my top five right there. That's like my top five. Now, I also like playing with Miles Morales. Yeah. You're a Gwen person. I'm a Miles person.
Yeah.
They're both great. They're both great characters.
I love them.
Yeah.
And I can play with Miles too.
Yeah. They're both great.
Yeah.
They have their own set of unique abilities. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar too on what they do, but just different stats. Miles electrocutes. Gwen, like, makes them like sticky and binds them with a web.
A big, huge ball that she swings around, and that spider, like the spider web ball, and she also does this teleporting and slamming thing that is that's pretty amazing, and she's one of my favorites. She's one of my favorites. Don't sleep on Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, so
now.
Well, I was gonna mention one more since you went ahead and mentioned
bottom one.
A few more. Like I said, Miles is one of the other the other people I play with. Not necessarily in the top five, but he's up there. Mm-hmm. And Hawkeye. I like playing Hawkeye because he's one of the only characters in the game who could actually combine his powers by himself. So that's another one I like playing with. So I guess let's go with the bottom character. Well, let's do one. Who's the worst character in the game?
The worst character in the game?
Yes.
I'm going to say worst because of like the disappointment of that I feel about I'm going to say Rocket and Groot. I just feel it's just so disappointing. They are just lackluster. They really, when you play with them, they don't contribute much at all. I feel like that it, and I have, I feel the same way about Gamora. I feel like she is just a character that is kind of wasted. I mean, it's just like a wasted character.
Okay, I'm gonna actually agree with you on those, but I'm also gonna add in Venom.
I was about to say, I mean, there's four spider characters in this game. There's Venom, Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy, and Miles Morales, and we really didn't need Venom. He's just big, clunky, cumbersome, and we just would have loved to seen someone else in that role, like maybe Black Cat, maybe like someone, just someone.
Dr. Octopus, maybe, even.
Maybe another villain, a different villain, Electro, I don't know. But he is a little...
to me, he's one of... He's
monotonous. It's monotonous. We really don't need him.
He's my biggest disappointment in the game, Venom. So that's another one to add. And then Drax to continue the Guardians. I feel like Star-Lord is the
Star-Lord
only...
Star-Lord is the only really kind
interesting,
of fun one to play with. I mean, but I'm also disappointed in, like, Doctor Strange. Because you have all these hopes that he has all these crazy powers. And when you're going through his power list, let's say you select him and you have all his powers and you're like, whoa, these powers are crazy. They're cool. But he, when you're playing with him, he is so vulnerable in that you can't even, it's hard to even get anything accomplished with him at all. And that's really disappointing.
And especially with this difficulty yeah, in the game.
I mean, you are not going far with Doctor Strange unless you, he's going to be, he would be a character that you have to put a lot of time and effort into developing because he is, he needs a lot of, manipulating, I feel. And, using the right things at the right time. And if you're not seasoned or if you're not doing it right, you're going to die.
Yeah. And we need more than one because there is a lot of, characters, I feel.
Scarlet Witch is like that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters that are very disappointing. You expect them to play a certain way and they just don't play a certain way. Mm-hmm. Again, Venom to me is the worst one out of all the characters that we just mentioned. And speaking about the characters, we're going to go into who is your favorite, like, boss fight?
Who's my favorite boss fight? You know I love fucking up Elektra. I just do. She's just something about Elektra that irks me. That any chance I get to, you know...
Evil Elektra, guys.
Any chance I get to pummel Elektra is fun for me. Thanos was intense. I mean, he was really intense. We it took a long time for us to get him, and I think those are my two standouts as far as memorable. Kingpin was kind of crazy too, but yeah, I think that's
all right. I'm gonna agree with you on Elektra for different reasons. I know you're just not an Elektra fan.
I am not an Elektra fan. I don't think that she should be a main character in anything. And she's in every game, and I just think that she sucks.
you're just not a fan about Elektra. So yeah, not a big Elektra fan.
No,
I liked her fight.
Why do we need Psylocke and Elektra? Why do we need both?
Well, again, everyone has their favorite, so
okay.
So that's something there with any Marvel game with, you know, when they put a lot of characters, everybody has their favorite. Mm. Now, the Elektra fight for me, the concept was interesting with the shields that you have to defeat two enemies and then you're able to, you know, to go ahead and fight Elektra.
The clones.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was interesting to me.
It was. Yeah, that was.
The other boss fight I liked was the whole X-Men boss fight, where the Sentinel gets the Infinity Stone. That to me, and Magneto joins you.
But what about Juggernaut?
Oh, and the Juggernaut fight. Yeah. There's a lot of memorable boss fights. Yeah. The whole X-Men section.
I mean, like, you know, usually, I don't know, I would have loved to have Juggernaut as a character. That would have been great, you know. But maybe he will. Maybe we'll get that.
Yeah, he was in part two, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we're going to end it off here since we pretty much dissected almost every single little detail about the game.
But it's fun. Have fun.
But have fun, guys. Use Ms. Marvel when you need to. I just wanted to overall go over just what we would, to end it off here, what we would like to see in the next Ultimate Alliance. Or what we would like to see, let's say, if they do make another expansion.
Well, you know me. I'm a little bit older than you. So I was a 90s Marvel kind of geek, so, and you know how I feel about Nightcrawler and Excalibur, so if we could see, like, you know, maybe those, some of those characters come into play, that would be amazing. And I know it's kind of obscure and a lot of people don't know about them, but you know, if you know, you asked, so I'm gonna tell. It's a little obscure, so I mean, I would go nuts if I could play with some of those Excalibur characters that are kind of slept on too. I mean, a lot of people. I mean, like the Captain Britain, the Megan, the Shadow Cat. I mean, There's some fun characters there.
Okay, that's definitely a good one to bring up. I would want to see if they do make an expansion or a next game. One, if they do make a next game, I want it to come out on every system so we could finally get one that's running good.
Yeah.
To its best of its abilities. I want to see it more polished than ever. In terms of characters, I would actually like to see, in terms of characters, like the Young Avengers, like Wiccan, Kate Bishop, Miss America.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm not very familiar with those.
Hawkling. Like, I would like to see the younger cast of Marvel.
There's a lot of potential. I mean, this game.
Well, She-Hulk. Wonder Man.
What about Namor? Namor. Nova.
Nova, yes. I was just about to mention Nova. That's a big one.
What about an Apocalypse storyline with the Four Horsemen? I mean, that would be amazing.
Archangel. Like, there's definitely...
Those kind of things.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, a lot of, like, characters. I would like to see Young Avengers a lot, and also Nova. The Champions.
Warriors, and, like, Firestar, and Speedball, and, you know, I mean, I know he's not Speedball anymore, he's Penance.
Well, whatever. Penance was in Ultimate Alliance 2, so he had a shine.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Just like Juggernaut, but again, they always come back, so I would like to see... You know, just a lot of obscure characters now that they're building off of this game, more obscure characters, and also...
Speaking of obscure characters, I forgot to mention this, I'm sorry, just one more thing. That Bloodstone person, I mean, the Amelia Bloodstone, or the...
Elsa Bloodstone.
And Elsa Bloodstone. Like, why? I mean, I could name, like, we just listed a whole bunch of people that I would have much rather have had in the game versus her. I just feel like, I mean, maybe I'm just old and I'm decrepit and I'm an old Marvel person, but I don't even know who she was. I mean, you had to tell me who she was. It's kind of...
Well, to make the matters worse, her gameplay was bad. Compared to a lot of other characters. So I definitely get your point. But there's a lot of characters. That's an obscure character. That's definitely, you know, one of the more obscure ones. I'm glad that she made it because, again, that means they're, like, actually looking into...
Well, she's a gunslinger character, right? I mean, they could have put in Domino. How cool would that have been to have Domino in it?
Yeah, but they already have... You have to realize they already have 12 X-Men already.
You could have.
Yeah, I know. We would always like more.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
Sure. Yeah, we would always want more. But yeah, that's my, like, top. More pure characters that they're building on top of this one, and having it run on all the current consoles with better capabilities, so you can run it polished, and also better camera. Someone get someone to make a better camera because they can patch it all they want. They can patch Ultimate Alliance 3 all they want. And they've been doing that very well, by the way. They've actually been patching it and fixing, you know, issues here and there. I like that sort of promptness, but they're not focusing on the right things. So more focus on the right things, make sure that camera works good, especially with multiplayer. Single player works great, but multiplayer, it's an issue. When your game is a multiplayer game like this, you can't have a camera like that. It doesn't make sense. It'll make you want to throw the control. Trust me. We've done it. We have done it. But yeah, that's what I think going forward. That's how I would end it off there.
Yeah, and I would just say, like, if you're just getting the game and you're just starting to play, don't give up. Don't give up on the game. You'll eventually... if you are passionate about these characters and love Marvel the way we do, once you do start to get it, it's worth it, I think. Sticking with it.
Yeah, it's definitely better when you're playing with someone else. So definitely, if you're looking for something to play multiplayer, definitely think about getting it there. But yeah, I think this is it. I think we covered all our bases here with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order. on this spoiler cast. So definitely go ahead and check us out on our Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And also subscribe to our podcast on the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, Spotify, and Stitcher. So we're everywhere now. And definitely check out our next spoiler cast. Who knows? We might be going back to Ultimate Alliance 1 or X-Men Legends 1.
Oh my god.
We're going to dig that back up. So definitely stay tuned with us, and we'll see you next time.
Well, thank you for having me.